What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Right, we are going back to the Euros and delighted to welcome back to the program Jean-Philippe Leclerc. Jean-Philippe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Bonjour.
What is the national mood in France at the moment? Is it entire fascination with the nose of Kylian Mbappé?
Yeah, exactly. Like it was during the World Cup with, you remember, Antoine Dupont?
Right.
And his famous and now famous mask. It's the same story with Mbappé this time. So there was a bit of a panic at the end of the game because we thought, we were concerned that it could be the end of the competition for him. But then the first news came that it was not so bad, that he didn't have to have surgery right away. But I mean, still, he's going to miss the next game against Holland. And if everything goes according to plan, that we beat Holland, he may miss the game against Poland just to rest. So, but the fact is that I don't think it's really good for him not to play because he had a very strange season with Paris Saint-Germain and with a lot of ups and downs. And I think he's this kind of player, like an NBA player who needs to play every 3 days. So, I mean, I don't think it's a very good start for, yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of concerned with the Mbappé situation, even if it's not as bad as we thought right after the game.
That's interesting because in the build-up to the World Cup, Antoine Griezmann barely played because of the weird contractual situation between Barcelona and Atletico, and he came in quite rested and seemed to benefit from that. But the argument with Mbappé seems to be that he improves with the regular game time.
Yeah, I think it's totally different because what happened with Mbappé last season with Paris Saint-Germain is that he didn't have a proper summer preparation because of the conflict with Paris Saint-Germain. And then since he announced, which was back in January or February, that he wouldn't add a 1 year to his contract, there was a fight with him and Nasser El Khelaifi. And Nasser didn't want him to play anymore, but Luis Enrique said, "I need him." So it was in this situation, like some games he was in the starting 11, some other games he was on the bench. So it was, and as I already told you, Mbappe is this kind of player. He needs to play every 3 games. It's not a problem for him. So I think he, even from what we have seen during game against Austria, it's like he has kind of lost his killer instinct. He was not as confident as he was in Qatar for the World Cup. He missed some chances that usually he doesn't miss. So even before the no situation, I don't think his game against Austria was very good.
Right. Do you think France can win the tournament if Mbappé is not at his best or not close to his best?
But the problem overall is that not many, I mean, we have big names, of course. If you look at the full squad, we have a lot of big names. But if you look at every player situation, only few of them have done a great season. If you look at Konate with Liverpool, or Upamecano with Bayern, even Mike Maignan with AC Milan, He had a lot of injuries. So many players like this. I mean, the players that really had a great season are Pavard or Marcus Thuram for Inter, for example. But Pavard didn't play or is considered as a substitute by Deschamps. And Thuram didn't play in his best position. So it's not the best start. It was the same before Qatar, but I'm a little more concerned now than I was before at the beginning of the tournament in Qatar.
Okay, that's interesting, because the rest of the world is looking at the French team agog at the talent level they have and scared of what they're going to be like when they actually start to hit form.
Yes, but football is not only a question of names, but it's mostly it's a question of how do you play together and in what kind of shape you are before entering the tournament, and we have to face the truth. I mean, not many players. I mean, the friendly games were not very good. Even look at the situation for next game. Who's going to play instead of Mbappe? Normally, it should be Giroud. But Giroud's got a beginning of a groin injury. So, his friendly games were with France before the tournament were very bad. So, who else could it be? Kolo Muani, he didn't have a very, very good season with Paris Saint-Germain, far from that. So, of course, you got all those big names, all those players, hugely talented, but are they at the top of their form for this tournament? It's not so obvious.
Can we talk a little bit about the political context around what's happened when Mbappe and Thuram came out and spoke about this? It felt like a big moment in world sport in many ways, because the English players are not saying anything about this. The German players, it seems, are not saying anything about it. So what has the response been like? I mean, we see what the response from RN is, but what has the response been like from most French people to what's happened?
I mean, usually when football players say what takes political stance, you get two kind of reaction. You get people who say, oh, they are so rich, they don't even live in France, and so they shouldn't talk like this. Or you got, on the other end, people who will say, when they don't speak about politics, like they don't care, and that they are just, you know, that they don't care about what's going on in their country. So it's not very easy for, I don't know what it's like in Ireland, but for a football player in France, it's not very easy to say what's on your mind when it comes to politics. So I think that Thuram and Mbappé, Dembélé, especially Thuram, have been very brave. But the reaction in France was like, I mean, if you talk like this, you better be perfect on the pitch. You better be good on the pitch. And there were a lot of reaction after the game, especially toward Thuram. People were saying, okay, you're not a politician, you're a football player, and we didn't like your game. So what you have to understand is that the political situation in France now is so tense that every lot of nervosity, people are very nervous of what can happen, of what has already happened. So personally speaking, I think what Thuram I've done was very brave of him, even if I was not really surprised. But he was very brave. But I would be lying if I told you that in France at the moment, everybody is very enthusiastic about it. We are very divided, the country, right now. And this kind of political stand by Thuram, of course, I mean, you got a lot of people who didn't really like it. Some who are very supportive. Yeah, we are a very divided country right now.
For sure. It's not a surprise to hear that. The stakes have been ratcheted up as a result of what they've said, whether they like it or not, that the final takes place on Bastille Day. And you can see the situation where if France win this tournament, it's probably going to have an appreciable positive difference for Emmanuel Macron.
I mean, a victory at the Euro, so gold medals at the Olympic Games are the only things that can really save our summer, because with the kind of political turmoil we are going through, and that was the headline of L'Équipe at the beginning of the tournament. Our headline was "See you in Berlin on Bastille Day," because for the symbol, that would be fantastic. To have a team, Les Bleus, to have a French national team in the final in Berlin on the Bastille Day, when the country is so divided, maybe that would put some kind of unity in the country, and we so much need it, because at the moment, right now, I mean, we are so devised.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
This is not the first time that we've seen the French players at loggerheads with politicians in the country. You had Jean-Marie Le Pen in 2006 famously questioning the ferocity with which the French players would sing their national anthem. You had obviously Marcus's father Lilian come out afterwards, critical in return, saying things that like Le Pen doesn't realise that some French people are black and other people have not got blonde or brown hair. And there has been this culture, even from Zidane's point of view, he's said that the National Front was a party which does not correspond to all the values of France around the 2002 World Cup. You have this culture of players who have been willing to at least hit back on certain sections of the French political class.
Yeah, it really started in 1996 for the Euro in England. That was the first time that Jean-Marie Le Pen doesn't know a thing about football. That's the first time that he said that there were too many foreigners in the French national team, that the French national team, he said, was artificial. And there was a response at the time from the players, even including Didier Deschamps, who said that what Le Pen said was really useless. And since that, there have been Jean-Marie Le Pen, I've made some this kind of comments a few times, and the players answer to that. And I think the first time that Zidane doesn't really like to talk about politics. Is a little bit like, you know, Michael Jordan at the time. Like the less he talks about politics, the better he feels. But with what happened, I think it was in 2002 when it was already Macron against Marine Le Pen. For the first time, Zidane said that he was against the National Front and that he thought that it would be bad for the country to have Le Pen for president. And so, yes, there is this history between the national, what was the National Front, not what is the National Rally, I think that's how you call them. And when you look at the team, even right now, that's for sure, it's not the kind of, it's not the ideal French team for the ex-National Front. Too many, that's what Le Pen said in the past, too many colored players. But Marine Le Pen has been more cautious about it because she knows that the French national team, I mean, after all the success they had those recent years when they won the World Cup in Russia and then the final in Qatar, they have been hugely popular in France. Some fans, some football fans that don't really follow Paris Saint-Germain or Marseille, they're just, you know, football fans, a lot of middle class, a lot of families. And so even the National Front, the ex-National Front, the Marine Le Pen or Jordan Bardella, they are very careful about what they say about this team because they know this team is very popular. So as long as this team wins, I think they will keep it quiet. But imagine if we get kicked out after the first round. It's going to be, once again, we will hear the ones of Le Pen and stuff saying bad things about Le Bleu. That's for sure. They only wait for that.
Yeah, stakes are pretty high. Like, it's interesting to bring us back to 1996 there. It's obviously been well written about and it's well remembered for people who remember it well is the... it's just the unifying force of 1998 or the reporting of a unifying force. I'm not sure how real that feels with the benefit of 26 years of hindsight. Like, does that feel like a bit of a facade at this moment or something that was a bit fleeting? Or did you feel that 1998 was a real answer to what Le Pen said in 96 and it had a long-lasting impact?
Yes, we call it the La France Black, Blanc, Beurre. But it was because we won the World Cup. Mm. And I don't think it's not fair to expect too much from football players. I mean, if they can just give a sense of joy and excitement to a country for even for a short period of time, just the time to, I mean, that's what happened in 1998. For the final, even for the semifinal, all the country was in the street, and you know, everybody was waving French flags, even if you were National Front or if you were, you know, living in the country side of the, or if you were living in the suburbs, or and it doesn't really last. It only lasts few months after Le Pen was a second round of the presidential election. So you cannot expect too much from football. If it gives you a sense of joy and excitement for a couple of for a few weeks, or few months, I mean, that's enough. But football is not going to cure all of our problems, that's for sure. I mean, they are much bigger than football at the moment in France. So if we win this Euro, that would be great for the country. If our athletes succeed at the Olympic Games, that would be great. But at the end of August, I'm not sure that will solve all our problems, especially if we have a National Front prime minister.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And it is critical at this point that those elections are going to take place before the Olympic Games. I know you were in the French West Indies over the past couple of days looking at the
torch.
I'm just back, yes.
I was in the French West Indies in Martinique because my father-in-law was a torch bearer for the Olympic relay. So he did the Olympic Games in 64 and 68 in Mexico. He was a one of the best ever high jumper in France. So we went with him in his native French Martinique. That was a great day for him and great day for the family.
The 68 Olympics they take place at altitude, so I guess he must have jumped pretty high.
But not as high as he expected, because he was among the favorites, and he was very disappointed because he only finished ninth of this one of the most famous competition of high jump ever, because it was won by Fosbury, and that was the beginning of the Fosbury flop. And my father-in-law only finished ninth, so even this day, if you talk about it with him, he's still very he doesn't like to talk about it. Very still very disappointed by his that he didn't have a medal in Mexico.
The Mexico Games are like one of the most fascinating and interesting periods of all the stuff we're talking about. Sport as an agent for social change, and all it can really do is reflect. Yeah. You know,
Tommy Smith was in Paris last week. I went to listen to him, and it was very interesting, especially given the circumstances now in France.
Yeah, all right. Always great to have you with us, Jean-Philippe. Thanks a million for making the time.
No problem.
Interesting summer in France, interesting summer in Ireland. It's been a theme of the show. Football can't fix us, but we can use it as an agent of change.
No,
for sure.
Like, also, you kind of have to commend the French players in saying what they're saying.
Amazing
stuff. It really is, because it's...
There's no profit for them.
No, and they've just increased the pressure on themselves tenfold. You can see Le Pen's party... Certainly, their opinions are on ice for now, because they know that there's a chance that France might go and win this competition. But already you can hear from the party that's sort of patronising at only footballers who don't really know what they're talking about line. If France bomb out in this group stage, which isn't likely, to be fair, if they have a disappointing group, knockout stage result, you can imagine that goes from opinions on ice to flamethrowers, all guns blazing at these players. So that's what's coming. And it's coming on as they win this tournament, you suspect.
Yeah.